Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
DSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into another week here on the program. Hope it's starting off well for you. It's a little chilly in some areas. There's even some snowflakes falling, but don't worry about it. It's nothing to be concerned about. It will be a perfectly fine day. Tomorrow, even better. Tomorrow's going to be in the mid to high 50s with sunshine. So listen, that's March for you. You might have some snowflakes falling one day. You might be able to walk out in a t-shirt the next. So we'll just take it as it comes, and we'll get through it, and then spring will be here before we know it. So, of course, this weekend was, well, last night was the Oscars. I don't really pay attention to it. I don't really care about who wins the awards. However, I will say pretty happy that a Godzilla movie finally won an Oscar. Godzilla minus one. That won for best visual effects, and it was a very good movie. I saw it in the theater. It was a really good movie, not just a Godzilla movie. And in fact, it really wasn't even a Godzilla movie. It was more about the effects of trauma and all of that. It's worth seeing, even if you're not a fan of monster movies. And of course, locally, we do have a connection to an Oscar winning performance. Devine Joy Randolph won for Best Supporting Actress for The Holdovers. That was filmed here in Fairhaven and in New Bedford at Fairhaven High School and the Wamsutta Club. Not in its entirety, but scenes were filmed there. And you can watch that movie now if you have Peacock. It's on Peacock. And it is just, to me, listen, you might have read Michael Rock's article. He was not a fan of the film. He said that he found it to be, you know, not what he was expecting. He thought it was going to be an uproarious comedy based on the way that it was being marketed or the way that it was being, you know, sold to us originally. So it was more dramatic than that. It was more heartfelt than that, but it still had its funny moments. It's a little long, but I think it's worth watching. I tried to watch a couple of movies this weekend just because I was trying to chill out and relax. I finally watched Wonka because it just came out on HBO Max. Long and boring, I thought. It was just slow. I didn't enjoy it. The songs didn't feel natural, which I know is hard to make a movie musical feel natural, but it just seemed cookie cutter in a lot of places to me, and I just didn't enjoy it. I did like Timothée Chalamet's performance, but overall, I just didn't like the movie. And then I watched Poor Things, which I enjoyed. I thought it was a very interesting movie, but it's probably not something I'd watch again. But it was certainly, I can see why it was nominated for so many Oscars and won a few as well, including Emma Stone for Best Actress. So that's my Oscar spiel. I didn't watch any of the broadcast. I did see a clip this morning of Al Pacino announcing Oppenheimer as Best Picture. And I think that something got screwy there. I don't think it's entirely his fault. A lot of people were like, oh, he was drunk. I don't think it was entirely his fault. So the broadcast failed him. But that's my Oscar wrap-up. I'm sure many of you out there didn't care. And if you did, if you stayed up late to watch it because you did care, you're probably not awake right now listening to me break it all down. But yeah, Oppenheimer did win Best Picture. Cillian Murphy won Best Actor. Christopher Nolan won Best Director. Robert Downey Jr. won Best Supporting Actor. So it wasn't a sweep for Oppenheimer. But it also won Best Original Score, Best Cinematography. So it did really well. But it was, you know, also another movie that I waited to see on streaming. And after watching, I kind of wish I'd watched it on the big screen. But I don't know. I found that movie to be longer than necessary, too. It's almost like they think it has to be a long movie for it to be worth Oscar contention. Like, no, we've got to hit at least 2 hours or else it won't even be considered. But if you're looking for a good, dumb, funny, silly movie to watch and you have Amazon Prime, Ricky Stenicki. That was pretty funny. I watched that Friday when I got home. Very funny. I didn't really laugh out loud a lot, but I did a couple of times. Certainly one of the funnier movies I've seen in recent years. So, all right, well, that's Tim's movie minute there. I tried to get Jason Kent to continue what he used to do with Phil, where he would come on and review movies. He's just too busy now with some changes to what his job is. So he doesn't have the time anymore, but he and I talk about movies all the time. And he's one of the most brutally honest people when it comes to reviewing films and TV shows. So I look forward to having a conversation with him later on today about the genius that is Ricky Stenicki. So there's a lot that we can talk about. Certainly this week, we can talk more about the meeting that's happening with the Feast Committee about whether or not to let women serve on the committee. And that this is something that has certainly drawn a lot of conversation around the city and around the South Coast. Paul Santos was in for Ken Pittman on Saturday, and I caught a good amount of his show where they talked about it. And there certainly are a lot of varying opinions on this. Now, I think, you know, the idea of it being tradition kind of flies out the window when you bring into the fact, and it's pointed out by Jack Spillane in his New Bedford Light column. By the way, Jack won't be with us today to turn on the light because he's on vacation, but he'll be back with us next week. But as he points out, you know, the village where this feast originated has already allowed women to serve. I'm going to say it wrong, but as feshteras. So if that's the case, what's the tradition we're holding on to here in America? And if the women have been serving in all kinds of other roles, what difference does this make? And I know some of the folks over there on the Feast Committee. I've worked with them the last couple of years in promoting it here on the radio. I know people whose families have been involved in it for generations. And none of them are that I can tell are chauvinistic. None of them are saying women can't do this job or shouldn't be allowed to do this job. They're just hanging on to that keeping with tradition aspect. And so, you know, maybe it's time to change that tradition. Because if they don't decide to do it on their own, I have a feeling it's going to become court ordered. Now, the whole idea of it being a private club can come into play. And certainly if you were like, well, you know, we don't want the women to do this or that or, you know, come into this meeting or whatever. That would be something that, yeah, maybe it could fall under a private club. But we've seen a lot of those get dismantled over challenges like this. But I think what works against that argument is that this has become, well, it is the signature event for the city every year. So even though it is the feast committee that runs it, that puts it on, it's become more symbolic of just that. It's become symbolic of something for the entire city. Therefore, the perception is women aren't being allowed to serve on the committee of the biggest event in the city. And I think that that's something that would supersede in a judge or a jury's mind the tradition and private club aspect of it. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer. That's just my armchair analysis of it. You might feel differently. 508-996-0500, and we can certainly talk about that. One of the other things that we will talk about this week, well, we've got a couple of things going on later on this morning. It is Money Monday. So we'll be joined by Manny the Money Man Resendiz in the 7 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, we're going to be having a special guest join us briefly. Because, listen, sometimes it's fun just to talk about things that aren't necessarily in the news, but that are cool events that are happening around and something that you might want to take part of. And those of you who are readers, you know, that read fiction books, that read novels, that look for things that are on the New York Times bestseller, you're familiar with the name Lisa Gardner. She sold over 30 million copies of her books, and they've been printed in over 30 languages. The AP called her the master of the psychological thriller. And she has a new book out. And she has an appearance coming up in Rhode Island. So next week, a week from tomorrow, we will be joined by Lisa Gardner to talk about that. So all of you Lisa Gardner fans can send me your questions that you want me to ask. I mean, don't get into the weeds about, like, why did this character do this or all that. But if you've got questions you would like me to pose to her, you can send them along, tim at wbsm.com. And the publicity people have said, would you like to have more authors on the program? And I said, you know what? Send me all the proposals, because I know a lot of you out there are voracious readers. I don't get to read as much as I used to and as much as I would like to, but I still try to crank out a couple of books a year. And in fact, I've started reading one over the weekend called The Reluctant Spiritualist, The Life of Maggie Fox. It's an older book. It's almost 20 years old at this point. But it takes a look at the Fox sisters, and particularly Maggie Fox, and the rise of spiritualism. Nonfiction book. But I know a lot of you are readers, so I have no problem bringing authors on the show. Especially where she's coming to Rhode Island, and a lot of you might want to have the chance to get out and meet her. So we'll talk about that next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. Or, no, a week from today. Yes, a week from today. So I will let you know more about that book as we get close, because I just got it. So found it on my desk when I came in. So I'm going to have to take a look through it and see what it's all about. And then there's another story that made news on Friday. And I don't even know if we really got to talk about it much on the air because there was so much going on, still kind of talking about the after effects of the election and all of that. But as Steward Healthcare is going to be forced to sell off its hospitals, the president and CEO of South Coast Health, David McCready, put out an email on Friday to the South Coast Health community announcing South Coast's intention to look into buying St. Anne's Hospital, taking over St. Anne's Hospital. And he talked about how important it is to have that hospital stay open and serving its patients because it is part of the South Coast community. Now, it would be easy to say, hey, victory lap for us. We're going to be the only hospital in Fall River with Charlton. But at the same time, I think they understand that that's not feasible. Both hospitals have a heavy load and there is a need for two. So them purchasing it or them taking it over makes a lot of sense. And certainly it makes a lot of sense for the local folks, because otherwise, what are you going to do? You're going to have one of these national healthcare systems come in that aren't connected to the community. You're going to have one of the Boston healthcare systems come down, and then, okay, well, you want to see a specialist, you've got to go to Boston, when Charlton and St. Anne's have been, and Toby and St. Luke's, they've all been pushing to have more of the best of the best be down here on the South Coast. So I think it's a smart move. I think it's probably the best case scenario for St. Anne's and for the people that utilize it. Now, some have claimed, well, won't that give them a monopoly? But I don't think so, because a monopoly means that you control it and nobody else can crack through that. And anybody's welcome to come and open a hospital on the South Coast. It's just they don't want to if you've already got multiple hospitals here. But anybody that wants to, any of these other health systems could come and build a hospital. And also, how can you call South Coast Health buying another hospital and having four a monopoly when Steward had nine? So I think that it's a totally fair thing for them to look into, and it makes sense. But again, it has to make sense. They have to look at the numbers and analyze it, although we're hearing rumors that it's probably more of a go than the email let on, but I can't confirm that. But it makes sense that they would be well into the process before they would announce that they were in the process. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. We will take more of your phone calls coming up. 508, or start off with your phone calls at 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails via the WBSM app. And we will get more into some of these discussions. Again, we won't be turning on the light today with Jack because he's on vacation. However, it is Money Monday, so we will be talking with Manny the Money Man Resendiz coming up after the 7 o'clock news to help you learn about saving up for retirement, how to start the process of that, and all of this other great information that we can bring you, and of course that you hear on the Retirement Factory here on WBSM each weekend. So we'll get into all that coming up, but right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day with Ariel Dorsey.
President Biden is in a quest for re-election. A couple accused of a conspiracy attack faces trial in the Oscars' biggest winner of the night.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Biden will be on the campaign trail in New Hampshire today. It is his first trip to the state in his quest for re-election. Well, he'll give a message about lowering costs for Americans and attend a private event later on. Biden won the state with nearly 53% of the vote in 2020. The U.S. Embassy is evacuating non-essential staff members from Haiti as gang violence grips the Caribbean nation. The U.S. Southern Command says American military forces are assisting the operation and helping provide security at the request of the State Department. Families of diplomats and others were reportedly being airlifted out of the capital city of Port-au-Prince to safety. Alabama Republican Senator Katie Britt is defending her attack on President Biden in her State of the Union response. Britt shared the story of a young woman she met who was a victim of human trafficking between 2004 and 2008, using the woman's experience to attack Biden. In an interview on Fox News Sunday, Britt said while the incident didn't happen under Biden's watch, it's emblematic of his current border policy. The trial date for two people accused of planning to attack Baltimore's power grid is set. The Maryland woman and Florida man are set to appear in federal court on July 8th for conspiracy to attack a Baltimore power grid. The couple is said to have neo-Nazi ties. And the top prize of the Hollywood's biggest night goes to Oppenheimer. The atomic bomb drama won Best Picture at the 2024 Academy Awards. Al Pacino presented the award. Oppenheimer led the pack with 13 nominations, winning 7 Oscars. And coming up in the business week ahead, things start off quiet today with no major economic reports on the calendar. Tuesday brings the Consumer Price Index, a key indicator of the state of inflation. Wednesday should be another quiet day, while Thursday brings data on retail sales, along with the producer price index and weekly jobless claims. A preliminary report on consumer sentiment wraps the week up on Friday.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Boston Bruins will be looking for their third straight win when they host the St. Louis Blues tonight at TD Garden. The Celtics are on the road when they visit Portland Trail Blazers tonight at 10:30. And the Red Sox next spring training game is today at 1 with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Happy Monday morning, everybody. Mid-30s this morning. Westerly wind up to 25 miles per hour, gusting up to 35. Some flurries overhead. Clouds will lead to some sunshine by this afternoon, mid-40s. It'll remain windy for this afternoon, overnight, and even into tomorrow. The winds will be subsiding a little bit. Sunny skies through Thursday. Chance for rain Friday into the weekend. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on the New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM News update brought to you by Sparks Auto Dartmouth, home of the $29 oil change. Your choice for auto repairs, brakes, and inspection stickers. Sparks Auto, 425 State Road, Dartmouth. I'm Ariel Dorsey with WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
In 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
How you doing?
Not bad. So I'll jump on actually what Ariel was actually talking about, talking about like some economic data. I kind of geeked out a little bit this weekend because I have nothing better to do because my kids are grown. They don't want to be with me anyways. So I don't have any more baseball games to coach or sports to do. So what I did was looked up the inflation on different sectors of the economy and found out something very interesting. So your most regulated industries by the government are the ones that are seeing, since the year 2000, are seeing the highest inflation. And the most underregulated or unregulated sectors of the economy see the most depreciation and or deflation. And I got a little bit more into the weeds. I looked up like the cost of a TV, flat screen TV, back in 2000. Like a 42-inch flat screen TV in 2000 was $7,400.
Oof.
Yeah, right. That, we're talking about the price of a used car now. That's what the and now you can get it at Walmart or anywhere almost for like $200 to $300 for like a 36-inch TV, flat screen, and has more, you know, more bells and whistles than it did back in 2000.
Yeah, that 2000 one wasn't even high definition.
No, absolutely not. It was like 780, you know, 780p maybe. But it made me think, like, we're out here, we're regulating healthcare, we're regulating, when you go out to eat, that's another housing. Housing is hugely regulated. And those are the areas of the economy that are seeing the highest inflation and have seen the highest inflation since 2000. And then everywhere else, from apparel to cell phones, a cell phone now is like, you can get a cell phone, a smartphone, but $400 if you buy it, you know, not the current one and not an Apple. If you can get an Android for like a couple $100, you know, where back in 2000, you wouldn't even get one. But when they first came out, everything was like $1,000. And it was $1,000, like, you weren't making $1,000 a week back then in like 2003. And now you see that, you know, commonplace now.
It also sounds like you're describing things that are necessary, like healthcare, like housing, mm-hmm. As opposed to things that people are buying because they want to. And then if they think that the price is too high, they won't buy. So, I mean, you know, cell phone prices had to come down in order to make them more accessible for people. Flat screen TVs, HD TVs had to come down. And actually, you could argue that a lot of those, you know, the reason why those became so prominent was because of regulation. The FCC said, we're getting off this, we're getting off this analog broadcast. We're moving everybody to digital. So then they had to kind of bring the price down on those TVs to make them more accessible to everybody. So I think I see your point, but I think that there's some cases where, you know, it might not necessarily be the way that you're laying it out.
Right. So it could be a little bit, there could be like a correlation doesn't mean equal causation. Mm-hmm. But I think what you see with like with cell phones and TVs is supply, right? So your supply increased to meet the demand, and now your supply is exceeding demand. And when you are able to do that, your prices come down. I don't think it really had anything to do with the FCC. I think the FCC, they regulate somewhat, but they don't regulate the manufacturing. I think that was more of a supply and demand issue.
No, they regulate the airwaves, which meant they moved everybody off analog. The TV, you know, the TV manufacturers had to do something about all the people that weren't going to go buy a new TV to switch to digital. So they said, we've got to make something that's more affordable. And that's when you started to see, you know, some of these $200 TVs popping up in Walmart.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I see where you're going with that. But when I looked at it, it wasn't like one anecdotal item.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like an entire sectors. And I thought it was interesting where, you know, obviously healthcare is seeing the massive inflation. Then you also have hospital services. They separated it for some reason. And obviously when your boomers ended up getting older, you have a more demand for the service. A lot of different factors play into inflation. And I just found it very interesting that every single one, I mean, I would say clothing is pretty necessary, and that has seen like a 70% drop in inflation.
Well, my question for you would be, what do you think is the real reason that the regulation is tied to inflation? Is it because the regulation costs these companies more to follow suit with what they're supposed to do, so they pass that on? Or is it a matter of they can have that perception of, because they're so regular, they can say, well, hey, we've got all these extra things we've got to do, so we can charge you more?
So, all right, I actually was just looking it up while you were talking, too. So new cars, household furnishings and clothing, along with cell phone services, software, toys and televisions, all saw deflation, where housing, food and beverage, away from home, child care, medical care services, college textbooks, college tuition, and hospital services all saw inflation since 2000. So what that tells me, even your colleges, right? Your colleges are not a necessity. I mean, it depends on what you're doing in life. Mm. But the reality is, it's not a necessity. It's not a necessity for life. And we see that another regulated industry continue to increase in inflation. So because one thing I do see, and you see this everywhere, is when government gets more involved and bogs down the system, when you bog down the system with red tape and regulations needlessly, it adds time to the manufacturer's end. So that's more labor that has to be input into the system. So that costs more for the producer, for healthcare or for whatever.
Sure.
And when the government gets out and there's less red tape, you can expedite a lot of the production, which reduces your labor time and ultimately makes things cheaper for the consumer.
Well, I certainly appreciate the research and the information.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have a lot of time on your hands.
That's all right, because you have something that you're interested in, something that you're passionate about, and you know you put that time to use. So nothing wrong with that.
All right, Tim.
Have a good day.
Okay.
And if you want to call in and react, 508-996-0500, or you can send an app chat message on the WBSM app. I just saw a news report on Channel 12. More skimmers have been found on some gas pumps and some self-checkouts, and that's in the Mansfield, Mass area. So keep that in mind. Listen, every time you use your card and you slide your card in something, you know, it's a little bit different if you're like inside the supermarket where there's a person there at the checkout. But anytime you're using a self-checkout, anytime you're using a gas pump or something, always just, and you don't want to do it forcefully, but I always just put my fingers on the thing where I'm going to slide it in and just wiggle it a little bit and just make sure that there isn't a skimmer on there, because it's happening more and more. And by the time you realize that it's happened, your bank account could be drained. And yeah, okay, you can work with the bank to get the money back, but that doesn't help you in the time that it takes to get that claim filed and processed if you have nothing to your name until that point. So it's worth just the extra bit of vigilance when you're sliding that card in. And if you can tap, tap. That's what I say all the time to people. If you have one of those cards you can tap, utilize that. If you can pay in a way where you don't have to slide that into the chip reader, do that. Although it's, you know, these skimmers are just as much when you swipe the card as much as it is when you insert the chip. So that's why you want to tap if you can, because at least, you know, people can still steal the data, but at least it keeps you from going physically into a skimmer. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
App.
And welcome back in. Let's go to the phones. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hi, good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm warming up. It was pretty cold out. I took my walk earlier, and it was quite chilly. As a matter of fact, it was frost. It was almost snow on the automobile windshields.
Yeah, I had a few flakes on my car when I went out.
Yeah, quite amazing. What a difference a day makes. But, talking about the economy, previous call, it jogged my mind to tell people, you know, with inflation, when you're in an inflation society, which we are right now, The last thing you want is transparency. You don't want transparency in your life at all. You're better off keeping your money in a strong box and living on credit cards. Keep the bank out of your life. The bank is like the government. The less of it, the better. Hey, you got a house, you got to deal with mortgages. And so, okay, that's your connection with the bank. But really, do not be transparent, especially with a bank. And, you'll be better off in the long run. You just pay your credit, live on credit cards and pay them off. And when you get your statement, there's your budget already made for you every month. And, keep a strong box, 200, 300 bolted strong box on your floor or wall safe. And that's the way you operate in this kind of an economy. You can't trust anybody in this economy. Things are changing all the time. Federal Reserve's in your life. You got the IRS, they want 83,000 more IRS. You don't want transparency. Transparency right now is for children. It's very good, but as an adult, with dealing with money, do not be transparent. It's the worst thing you can do.
All right. Well, thank you.
Would you play cards with your cards face up?
That's a good point.
Poker. Yeah. All right.
Bye. All right. Have a good day. And let's squeeze in one more call here. Lamone, I only got a couple of minutes because then I got to take a break. What's on your mind?
That's poppycock. I will tell you, you need to call Dave and tell him that him and his wife will try to come to see the boss on the 22nd of this month. That we've been waiting for years trying to get this together for him. We're trying to wait until August. Maybe if he can become one of the killers, but I guess he won't be. But he'll be here on the 22nd of this month. Can you make a couple of calls and see if he's interested in coming out there?
I'll see if I can reach out to him. Send him a message on Instagram or something. He's pretty responsive.
I don't do Instagram. It's against my religion.
He's on Facebook. You can send him a Facebook message.
But that's Instagram. Is not Facebook, though. I don't have him. You know the number. Call him. Good grief. Are you that busy? Like, you could call
me. I'm also that's not so your secretary, Lamone.
But I never asked you to be my secretary, but if you were, you'd probably be a great guy Friday, if you were going to be somebody's secretary, right?
I'd be more like a guy Saturday because I'd barely get anything done.
Well, at least you get it done. At least the weekend be open for you, right? Okay. You could do that. It couldn't hurt. Like I said, the tickets are kind of expensive, and I don't have much money to spend put out there like that, so I might have to, shake a little ass to get a little extra money to get tickets paid for. But I might be able to get him a pair of tickets if he's going to come.
I'll try to let him know.
And would you be able to contact him today and hit a brother up sometime this evening or whatever so I can know? 22nd isn't that far away. And if not, I could always spend my money on something else. Because I know I'm hoping for somebody to come visit me probably in a few weeks. So I'd like to spend, I'm not going to spend buying tickets for them. I know I'm going to probably spend the money on her.
Oh, well, hey, you got to keep us up to date on that. I got to hold you there, Lamone, because I got to take this final break of the hour. But thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Bye, I'm playing. Good day.
And we do have to take this quick break. We'll be right back. All right, that's going to do it for this hour. Coming up in the next hour, we'll be joined by Manny the Money Man Resendiz. We'll be talking about, your money, how to save for retirement, but also how to spend in retirement, too. So we'll talk about all that and more coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. And then, of course, more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. And if you have any questions for Manny, you can call.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.